Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Game Over Nation podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we've started the site up. We have some cool stuff already going on. I posted up the first Sunday comic, so we're back with the comics, and hopefully we can have that going for the next, you know, couple years.
Forever. Yeah. Forever. It really depends. Like, if you guys could just give us some money, and then...
Yeah, so
we'll get you an address later.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with GameOverNation.com right now, and not only that, but like you guys, the listeners, the audience, all of our nation have like been commenting on every post. Like already, like just three articles in, we have like way more comments than we ever got on the old site. So it's exciting, man.
Yeah, it looks like it's rejuvenated the nation.
Rejuvenated.
We got to keep that up, folks. We're liking it.
It's great. Everybody's active, so we're definitely going to keep that going.
Oh wow, I thought that was actually a bad pun by you, Ryan.
What?
When you said rejuvenated, I thought you were referring to Javi.
What?
Because of your AIM screen name.
God damn, you're dumb. It's retarded, Dylan.
Well, they can't all be winners. Yeah. Then we started off.
Other monologue.
We're officially back.
Yeah. Dude, we're starting back at one. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, we got to 80 first, so
that's true.
I wasn't in number one last time.
Yes, were you? Oh, it's just me and Mark.
Wow. I was in number two.
God, it feels like another lifetime ago. But anyways, the big thing about this first episode, we're starting it off. We have Direct to Drive has given us a copy of DC Universe Online, and we're going to give that away at the end of the show. And the terms are that, you know, you write in, you have the best question, whoever causes the best discussion, we'll choose a winner from that.
It's just putting, when you only have 140 characters. The email that gets the best discussion going is way more words than best.
Yeah, so best question. And also, I was asked to make it very clear to all you people in the contest, I need to make it clear that Direct to Drive is offering a free copy of the game, but they're not going to pay the monthly subscription. You still have to pay, I think it's $15 a month. So... yeah, don't get pissed off about that. I'm telling you the rules right now. So
it is U.S. residents only.
Yes, U.S. residents.
Ouch. So.
Yeah, take that, Canada.
Other half is
Australia, Canada. And Europe.
You know, we have a strong audience in Australia, we found out.
Ryan's other half lives in Canada. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, I know.
Part two of Ryan Prime. Part one, the answer is yours.
Yeah, I didn't realize our birthdays are so close together. Ryan Prime as a whole leveled up completely in like the past
it
week.
Leveled up.
Yeah.
Ding.
Yeah. You guys best watch out.
All right, well, with that, stay tuned for the DC Universe contest. We have a little bit of news to go through, and then we'll hop right into listener mail because we have a lot. So... So let's go to the news. Dylan, you're in charge this week.
Oh, am I?
You are.
Okay, well, number one would be World of Warcraft Cataclysm is now the fastest selling PC game of all time.
Oh, my.
Sold almost 5 million in just this month.
Huh.
Wow.
That number was 4.7 million. Exactly.
Take that, Kinect.
I think that's up to 8 million.
Yeah, it's, well, I think the last number was shipped. They thought it was sold, and then it was shipped, and then, God, I hate that number, that whole shipped argument.
So I'm curious, for people that didn't buy Cataclysm, the game still drastically changed, right?
Yes. So. The entire, the patch that came out before Cataclysm came out, completely revamped the old world.
Yeah.
So was there like an event when that happened, or yeah, just like you logged out and then it updated and you logged back in and everything was different, or was there
there was events and stuff like before every expansion there's been like events and shit going on. I was not, my account was inactive at the time, so I have no idea what the events were. There usually is, though.
Yeah.
There was one for Wrath of the Lich King. I believe there was one for Burning Crusade. I don't remember.
Whatever. Interessante. All right. Well, what else, Dylan?
Bionic Commando Rearmed 2 has a release date. February 2nd for the Xbox Live Arcade and the PSN on February 1st for $15.
This game's interesting. He can jump now.
He can jump because they gave him a mustache. That's for the guy at PAX.
See, I had fun with this at PAX.
So that's the secret to Mario's jumping ability is his mustache.
Yeah, I mean, he said we started working on the second one and we took the character model from the first game and we decided to give him a mustache. And then once we hopped back into the game, we didn't change any of the code, but he could jump. That's what the guy at PAX was saying. We're like, what the fuck? So retarded.
Best thing ever. Yeah. I really liked it at PAX. I had fun with it.
As a huge fan of the first game, I was like very excited for this. But I don't know what it is. I've been hearing from IGN and stuff that it's not looking too good. From people that reviewed the first game and absolutely loved it, they're saying that this is a shame. I haven't like looked into the specifics of why it's disappointing, but that's what I'm hearing, which sucks. But what we played was good. It was just like the...
I think that will be enough for me. What I played was really fun, so...
Yeah. Alright. Wait, so when's that coming out?
February 1st on the PSN. February 2nd on the Xbox Live Arcade for $15 or 1,200 Microsoft points.
15, really?
Yeah.
I think the first one was 10, I think. Yeah.
Who knows? He can jump.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's $5 worth of jump, buddy. I guess there, I know at least on 360 there will be a demo. I assume on PSN too. So.
Yeah.
I'll see how the demo is. Check it out. The demo's really fun. I'll pick it up.
Dylan, you never bought the first one, I don't think. You should get that.
No, I believe we played it through at your house, and then I didn't have a reason to play through again.
I see. I love the first
one. Totally, spoilers. Totally ruined the story for him, Javi. Way to go.
Wait, what?
We played from start to finish.
You totally ruined the story for Dylan, so he had no reason to go home and play it. So
that's true. I should have sat him down, and I'm like, come play this with me. And then I was like, spoilers.
You see that? That's Hitler.
Then we start playing. Anything else, Dylan?
Let's see. Silent Hill 8 will be called Silent Hill Downpour.
Well, you know, I had a problem with the name Silent Hill 8 anyways because the numbers never got that high. I think they got to 4. The Room.
The Room with the big-ass eye.
And then there was never a Silent Hill 5. Like, literally, so what? They're taking Homecoming and Shattered Memories and shit and counting those?
Wasn't Shattered Memories a remake?
Yeah, it was a reboot of the first one, basically.
I didn't get to play it. And then there was the one that you hated. I can't remember the name.
That's Homecoming.
Homecoming.
Fuck that game. Shattered Memories. Shattered Memories was okay. That was my first Gamefly game, actually. It was alright, but I got bored. It was too much of the same thing. And it wasn't that good. Had some cool ideas, though. Still, Downpour, I remember me and Walter fucking fangasming out when we saw the first trailer for this, because we're gigantic fans of Silent Hill 2. And, you know, this looked like they were bringing back the creepy. You know, you could see in that footage that we had. We actually posted it on the old site. We had some gameplay stuff where you were climbing through a window and it's like pitch black. And then like your character's looking in a drawer and the TV behind him turns on, but he doesn't notice. And there's shit like going on there. It's really freaky stuff. And you see like shadows walking by in the background. It looks awesome. So let's hope it's still kind of holds up. I think they're actually just scared of putting a number on a game, you know, like because that means it's like part of the main, you know, number storyline, I guess.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, though, because if they're considering the other ones part of the main,
Yeah, I don't know why they call it Silent Hill 8 in the first place. It was stupid. So that's probably why they're switching it. I bet people would have been like me. They would have been like, wait, where's 6, 5, 6, and 7? It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
They're not important.
7, 8, 9.
Do you really want lesser Silent Hill? Come on, this is an 8. Would you really rather have 6? Like,
yes. Dylan.
Oh, I think that's about it.
All right. Thanks, Dylan.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's coming out this week. There's only two titles worth mentioning, actually. First up, let's say Kingdom Hearts Recoded, which I didn't even know about. It's coming out for DS. I read a little bit of the quick description. It says it takes place right after the second one, I think. So that's interesting. I can't believe, like, all these Kingdom Hearts games, like Birth by Sleep, and what was the other one?
Did it say that in the short description? It takes place right after the second game, I think.
Well, it said something like, after the end of Kingdom Hearts 2, Sora is found, blah, blah, blah. So, but it, like, you look at the character design, I think he's not wearing the black pants anymore. He looks young again. I'm like, so I don't know, whatever. It's Recoded, so what the hell does that mean? Okay, so they have all these Kingdom Hearts spin-offs that have been coming out, like Birth by Sleep, and there's this other PSP one, I think, that's called, like, 1 3/4 over 2 million, whatever. It was like like this bizarre fraction.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing it. It was like a complex fraction.
Yeah.
Like, compound fraction, whatever.
Like, what the fuck, man? What are they doing? Like, everybody just wants Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't know how well these games are selling. Like, I didn't even know about this one, you know? So
I think I saw it and I didn't even pay attention to it being new while I was at work.
Oh yeah, well, really? They had it already because it comes out this week.
Yeah, well, we weren't putting it out to the floor, but
You have it in the back.
Yeah, I didn't even pay attention. I just saw it and I was like, okay.
All right. So with all you Kingdom Hearts fans. If you're interested in that, that's coming out. And then the big one, the big watermelon, is DC Universe Online, which, if you forgot, we're giving out a copy of that today. So, yeah, I mean, there you go.
Mail, motherfucker!
All right, guys, I think it's time for some listener mail.
I think we should, since this is our first, first edition. I mean, we've been doing this a while. We probably got all the listeners, but in case anyone new comes along, we do normally talk about what we've been playing, etc. We've just got a lot of email.
We do not. All right.
We kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. So since we didn't really plan anything or plan this out beforehand, if we do get a really good email, mark down the topic if you can. Like, you know, so the listeners, you two.
yes.
Oh, I better open Notepad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta open something.
I'm actually opening Minecraft.
Okay.
Why are you doing that?
I'm kidding.
Don't do that.
Okay, Manuel Villarreal says, why have so many games these days dropped or stopped offering meaningful replayability? What happened to multiple characters and branching stories?
One more time.
Why have so many games these days stopped offering meaningful replayability? What happened to multiple characters and branching stories?
I don't know.
They turned that into DLC.
It's true. It's true in a lot of ways. And then, I mean, you've got games like, Fallout New Vegas and the Mass Effect games. I mean, those offer some degree of that. I mean, you're not getting a totally different game, but I guess, do you ever, like, when you replay something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what examples does Manuel have, what games are these, and like, when was the era when games were like every game had meaningful replayability? I mean,
There have been games that are like that, but there wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't the standard.
Like a whole period, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, replayability is kind of a ambiguous thing because, like, you can, lots of people can play Super Mario Brothers infinitely. You know, you can play it over and over and over again. Actually, most people do. You know,
yeah.
There's not a lot of people out there that haven't played the original Super Mario Brothers, but it's still a treat to play. So I guess that's infinite replayability. But you know, you don't need multiple characters and branching stories to enjoy Mario.
I mean they had Luigi.
That's true.
I mean, he's a whole different character.
And you could take the warp zone. It's branching.
I cut half the story out for you.
Yeah. Wow, dude, Mario's way deeper than we thought.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right.
I was gonna say I'm not sure if this is true or not, but with development costs rising, I imagine they want to focus on that first replay being as good as possible.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I mean, that's less time to develop other characters, other storylines or whatever. I think, I mean, this is a speculation, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with that either,
but
you then, do want to make.
Yeah. Dragon Age, sorry.
All right.
Dragon Age had a ton of replayability. I mean, at the end, you ended up with the same ending pretty much. You had like three or four different ones. But yeah. There was a lot of ways of going about it.
Yeah. So. And I get the same impression from, you know, I know that Fallout New Vegas, depending on who you go with, whether you go good or bad, same with Fallout 3, definitely, you know, the different classes in Mass Effect change the way you play the game, you know. Mm-hmm. So I know people who have gone through that so many times, so I don't...
Read up on The Witcher 2 if you're into that. It has three different starts of the games depending on how you ended the first game, and it's got like 16 different endings.
Wow.
Yeah, if you check out the story branches on it, it's pretty big. I'm curious about that.
That's what she said.
That is what she said. To me.
To me. All right, next question is from John Glasscock.
Glasscock?
Yes.
What are we, 12? You couldn't even finish reading it before you started laughing.
I wasn't sure. I said it.
What's the name really, though? I don't believe you.
It's John Glasscock. Sorry, John. Thank you for writing in. He says, why are games so much fun?
Oh.
I think people play games.
They're not. They're not. So it's just, I mean, we're just really in it to get that money, you know?
Right.
we have to play them as part of doing this and like trying to set up a website.
I hate games.
Yeah.
No, I think that gaming, and I think this is kind of cool that it's so broad now that it can service any kind of desire that you have. You feel like getting, you know, really focusing and being, you know, tested. You know, you can play a hardcore, you know, like shoot 'em up or anything that'll test your skill, like or
Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, then there's like the polar opposite. You got Flower, you know, that's just about literally just relaxing and letting go.
Or like, have you either of you played Kingdom of Keflings or World of Keflings? That is the definition of a relaxed game. Like, there's no way to lose. There's no end condition, really. It's just sit around and like collect resources and build shit
and put on your cufflinks.
This cover conversation sounds like a fetish conversation.
Yes,
like lots of different things and.
It's true though.
If you get into some of those Kinect hacks, woo boy.
No, but I think that's totally true. I mean, games are so much fun because there's a game out there for everybody, even a non-gamer. You can find something that, you know, they would genuinely have a good time with. They just gotta let their walls down. So I mean, why are games so much fun is because there's something that everybody's looking for out there as far as entertainment, and you know, games can provide that in a new way where you're engaged, not just watching
passively. You
Yeah,
they can really pull you in, because what you're seeing on the screen is what you're doing. You're affecting it all.
Except exactly. In the case of Final Fantasy 13.
Well, you don't have to press X. You can not press X.
Dun, dun, dun.
Brilliant.
Yes.
But then, especially like nowadays with the ease of multiplayer gaming online and stuff, like that adds a whole new dimension. It adds such a huge social element to it. When you get your friends together and play online, you know, I got a lot of friends that don't even live in Houston that I play with online every day and talk to every day through Xbox Live. So, you know, that's just another dimension, just that social aspect.
Yeah. All right. I'm writing down this question because it was good. Good job, Glasscock.
Damn it.
We should just see if we can get another copy for his name.
Speaking of that, whatever happened to McAnus?
I don't know. Does he still?
I hope Glasscock keeps writing in.
Yes, please, John.
You are the new McAnus.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, next question. David Taylor says,
like,
"What do you,
from the Cadillac?" Sorry, there's a dealership in Houston called David Taylor Cadillac.
You know what? Maybe he does own that business.
Alienating every listener in the first episode.
We didn't rip apart Manuel, so. Manual, what is that, like a transmission?
That might be the single worst joke I've ever heard on this show.
He's not automatic. Okay.
Yeah, we get it. It's just not.
Oh. I laughed. I thought that was funny.
Whoa.
You would.
Okay, David Taylor, auto, whatever. What did you guys?
We're just gonna make fun of everyone's name as we go through. All right, welcome to the show, folks.
Yeah, welcome to the nation. It's trial by fire. Okay. What did you guys think when Capcom used IGN's watermarked picture for the box art on Okami?
Wait. You know, okay. Wait. What?
You didn't know about this?
No.
Okay, it's so hilarious.
On Okami for the Wii, not on the original Okami, but if you look at Okami for the Wii. The first giant batch of copies on the cover, you can see the IGN logo in the picture, because they took the high res, you know, art off of IGN for some fucking reason and made the box art out of that, and they didn't Photoshop it out. So you can still see the IGN logo on the box art.
How do you not have your own assets?
Yeah
no shit.
Yeah.
Hey, what did we do with those high res pics? Oh,
I don't know. But
we sent out the press kits. I thought we were done with those.
Exactly. I wonder if it's only because at the time Clover was gone.
Well, it was a different studio. It was a different studio, like getting all the gathering the assets from whatever Clover left behind. So yeah, that is the case.
That's hilarious.
Still, I mean, I can sympathize. I can totally sympathize, because as a Photoshop guy myself and a designer, like. There's countless times I can think of where, you know, you spend a lot of time making something and, you know, you look it over as many times as you can to make sure it's where you want it. And then once you publish, and this is the worst because there's billions of copies of this game getting sent all over the world. You know, once you publish, once you hit that send button, then you really look at the final product and you notice shit where you're like, oh, fuck! You know? So, you know, I totally sympathize. That was a crazy mistake. And, you know, the first thing they should have done is when they got that asset was Photoshop the IGN logo. You know, you should take that out. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that was probably, like, in the back of the designer's mind. Like, oh, I'll get – don't worry. It'll be gone. And then half of it is gone. Half of it is covered with, like, you know, other assets of, like, the background. But yeah. Then you can totally see, like, the whole – top left corner of the IGN logo. So,
wow. Yeah. So what do we think of it? Hilarious.
It's hilarious, you know? And I actually ran out because I was going to wait. I was like, I don't really need this game. But then they, you know, once that was like announced that was there, Capcom flipped out and released a whole new batch of cleaned up covers. And they even like made a cover available for you to download and print out yourself. It's like, come on.
I wonder if I have that copy.
I do. I went out and picked it up because it was a collector's item, I think. Like, you know, there's an IGN logo on the front of Okami. That's awesome.
Like, look at baseball cards that get misprints. Like, the misprint's always worth way more than the other cards.
True.
Yeah, that could be something you could eBay one day.
I already have the original Okami on the PS2, so hey.
Oh, good for you.
All right, next question.
Fantastic game, by the way.
Jesus Christ, this is huge. Gabe Philbin.
That's what she said.
Gabe.
The rabid wombat himself. Dude, this is...
I like Gabe.
I love Gabe. And he actually tweeted about me loving him.
Is he a little boy on the adventure?
I guess so. And he says, greetings, my Guadalupes of gaming. Okay, how do you guys feel about the surplus of re-releases that developers have been pushing? Do you think that these games are beneficial for the IP and its future? Or do they only prove that developers and publishers would rather make an easy buck instead of further pushing the boundaries of the gaming industry? Should this steady income of re-releases continue? If so, what time period would you like to see the developers reach back to? Can I has Tefri Games?
That, for those of you who don't know, that's an inside joke to our last contest where nobody knew how the contest would be designed.
Yeah, well, nobody knew that you had to send a question, and we just wrote right in to mail at GoverRated. So
that was half of them.
Yeah, can I has games?
I don't even remember this.
Can I has Te Game?
I think it was me, Ryan, and Walter. Yeah,
yeah, you might not have been here that night.
All right, ladies. Okay, so Gabe finishes up with, personally, I love being able to play the Sly games in HD. Oh, and he has in quotations, the first one is the best, Dylan. Don't lie to yourself and say Sly 2 is better. You're crazy.
What?
That's crazy.
And he says, also, I can't wait for Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. However, I'd rather see new games in lieu of Shadow of the Colossus' groundbreaking style. Blah, 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 blah. This is a long-ass thing. Anyways, yeah, so what do we think of re-releases?
I'm okay with them. I understand what he's saying, but I think there's room for both sides, like re-releases, you know, get that quick buck or whatever. And I wouldn't say that the industry has gone stagnant in any way.
No, not at all.
So I think sometimes I can see the necessity of them because if people will buy them, I mean, that's more revenue to make these new.
No, seriously. Yeah. Games. I had never played Sly before. Now, you know, I can fully say I cannot fucking wait for the fourth one. You know, and I bought the third ones again, and they're beautiful in HD. You know, it was a great decision, and so there's no way I'd say I don't want this to happen.
Yeah, exactly. That's another angle. The reviving IPs that might not have been popular at one point, they come back. There's some kind of cult classic. People have heard of it, maybe never played it. And yeah, if a sequel's coming out soon, you re-release the old ones. Everyone plays it. Now they all have a reason to want the new one.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Look at the cult classic God of War.
Oh, you funny.
Oh, you're very funny. Okay, but, God of War. I mean, it's not an unknown title, but I did pick up the collection, and you know, God of War 2 blew my nuts off, man. I like it more than the third one.
Was it an unsung
nuts off
an my unsung game like God of War 3?
God, yeah, did you guys see that? I saw that today. Mass Effect 2 was on there. Like, really? Gran Turismo 5?
Yeah. All right, so... Wow.
Good job, Wall Street Journal. You guys are tops.
Okay, so there's one little thing in Gabe's question I want to say. He asked, do we think that developers, publishers should instead make... Or are they making an easy buck, or would they... be better off pushing the boundaries of the gaming industry. Honestly, I think you look at the people that are re-releasing these games, those are studios I'd never heard of before. And you know that, like, you know, Sucker Punch, for example, with Sly Cooper, they might have overseen the port, but they didn't do it. They're working on Infamous, you know, and mm-hmm. like same with Sony Santa Monica. Like, they were making God of War 3. There's nobody, I don't think there's any resources that are being wasted here. I think the people that are making these ports haven't really done anything else. This is a great, you know, way to use that asset. I think the industry is fine, you know, and this is great. Like we said, bringing, you know, giving these games another shot in the spotlight. That's great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. And when people get tired of it, I mean, the industry will know. They'll stop buying them. I mean,
if it sells. Then keep doing it. You might as well.
Yeah.
It's proven that they'll sell.
Gabe finishes with, free games. Kenna has them.
Just wait. You know, in 3 years, we'll get the Call of Duty Modern Warfare collection.
I'll write down Gabe, but I don't. I'll tell you right now, Gabe, you're probably not going to win, dude. I think the last question, the Wire Games fun was better. But I'm kidding, Gabe. I love you.
But you're probably not going to win.
No, probably not. All right, hold on, Gabe. Wild Vine.
It's all right. We can still play Uncharted together.
Yeah, doggy. All right. Ghost8182. Classic. All right. He says, since your Twitter asked for more questions, I guess I have more to ask. Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? In that case,
he always asks a big question, doesn't he?
He always does. Hold on. I think he wrote in. Yeah, okay, he did. Okay, so I'm only going to read this question, Ghost, because the other question you sent in was before the contest. So. Okay. What are your thoughts on morality in systems or morale? Sorry. What are your thoughts on morality systems in games? Personally, I hate them. They dictate how I play a game, and Mass Effect 2 is the worst because if you're not full Renegade or full Paragon, half your squad mates die.
I agree with him, actually.
Really?
Yes, I think a BioWare system is way too black and white.
Yeah.
I think I touched on this in our PAX episode. It was either you're this huge fucking asshole or you're letting everyone step all over you.
Oh my god. I listened to our PAX episode. That was so funny. Dylan's.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. And
fucking Greg made fun of me.
Yeah.
He made fun of me at the bar as well.
Because Dylan's all like, so in Dragon Age 2, is it still.
No,
like,
it was Mass Effect.
No, because Walter was talking about Dragon Age 2.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, is it still like Mass Effect where on the wheel it says to say yes or no until you click yes, and then Shepard says something totally different, like, oh, hell yeah!
The click wheel is almost more like a general attitude that you will present.
Right.
It's
I hate
not
that
the
shit.
Answer.
No, it's just so funny though, because Greg like called him out, like, "Where the fuck did Shepard go? Hell yeah!" That's so awesome.
I understand.
He
what
made
you
fun
mean,
of me so
Dylan.
Fucking much that weekend.
Yeah,
at the bar.
That's Greg Miller for you.
Son of a bitch.
All right, so yeah, morality. I think, you know, and another black and white thing that I didn't really care for was Infamous, you know?
Yes.
I mean, and it would almost be better if, because there is
no reward. Yeah,
that was no
fully
reward.
Cut out paths for you.
Why can't neutrality be a viable path? Neutral is never a good path to go in games. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no reward for, you know, not choosing either side, that's a problem. I think, they might as well, when Infamous starts, they might as well say evil path or good path from the beginning.
Well, didn't Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas have perks that were specific to good, bad, neutral?
There was a trophy for being neutral. When
I know there were some perks that were like, there was a few that were like, if you're in the neutral, you must be neutral for these to work.
Yeah, that was there was only one trait for neutral, and then the other two were collecting ears off evil characters or collecting fingers off of good characters.
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe that was it.
So, I mean, that's probably the closest we've come to that being an option. which isn't not much. It's not much of an option.
No kidding.
I don't know. I guess maybe the way they design the game is just to just run one direction or the other.
Oh my god.
I hate to bring this up again, but the first Witcher has a pretty good morality system. I mean, it's still a bit black and white, but you are rewarded for being neutral. It's a bit more fleshed out than BioWare's morality system.
Ghost follows up with, will Alana ever crawl out of her crack den and be on the podcast? Take that. National Treasure. Yes, she probably will be on the show. She is back from Seattle, if no one knows. So
she's got tits, so we'll get listens.
We'll get listens. Stay tuned. Hell yeah! We'll get some listens. All right, Ghost, you asked a bunch of questions in here, but it's only one per person, so we're moving on.
I do like his morality question. I would like to go way more in depth than that.
Right.
With how annoyed I am about it, but
all right now.
I would love to have like a Dungeons and Dragons style
system. So, well, let me ask you that. Yeah, if it was more, if neutral was a more viable option, would you be more open to them?
Yes,
that's what you're looking for.
Oh, yes,
that's what you
I
want?
Love.
I
neutral paths.
I still think that's almost too. Too black and white. Let's like say, well, black, gray, and white. You know, I think to really have
within the confines of a game, how else are you supposed to design?
I think,
it?
Like, I think
you shouldn't have a fucking meter.
Yeah,
you know, or something
like
that
how
says
Dragon
you're
Age
good or bad.
It. I think Dragon Age did it a little bit better than most. Where there was like, oh shit, you're a murderous psychopath, or you're just a greedy fucking bastard, or you're a fucking patron saint, or kind of just neutral.
Yeah, I could almost deal with also like the idea of just character specific relationships where you're not good, you're not bad, you're not neutral. It's just how did you
treat
this person,
yeah,
and how are they going to react to you?
People
okay,
hate
yeah.
you, but these ones
people.
Like you.
Yeah, yeah, you're a saint to some, you're a monster to others. You know,
that's way more interesting because you're trying to find a balance.
Stalker is kind of like it has different factions that you friendly with or. Unfriendly with.
Well, New Vegas had that too.
Yes,
a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
The factions.
That's how Fallout 2 was. Individual cities either vilified you or idolized you.
Right.
Well, and I like
the entire wasteland.
Maybe just the idea of expanding on something.
The
like
Khaizar.
That.
Well, I like the idea of like you know morality not even being like. Spoken or any issue, there's no meter, there's no, and they're saying, oh, I wish there was a neutral because I would go for that. That's just like adding another version of the game to go to. I think it would be way more interesting and dynamic if
I think
like Ryan said, your actions, like let's say you're at a kingdom or whatever, and they're like, oh man, these people over in the from the mountains don't like this sort of thing, but we really want you to do it to help us out, and it's your choice. It's not good or evil. It's not neutral. You're just trying to get
who
along.
Who are you going
to
help with?
Yeah, you're trying to get by. And like, the game doesn't give you a black and white, like, do you want to be bad or do you want to be good?
Yeah.
That's the other problem
with morality systems is, you know, that scenario you just set up. Because I've seen situations where they might set up something like that, but then it is a good or evil choice.
Yeah. Like blowing up Megaton or not, you know.
And then you're basically in a situation where you're sitting there going, well, I'm going to feel bad for not helping them, but... It just, you know, you're gonna feel bad for going the evil route, even though you think that it might be more helpful. Mm-hmm. Like,
I would love tougher decisions. Like, you can help either these people who are really good or these people who are really good.
And not only
either
that, but
one,
like, sometimes
one of them is gonna get fucked over.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things in Infamous where, you know, the love of Cole's life is dangling there, and you have to decide whether to save her or save, like, a bus of children or some shit like that.
No, it was doctors hanging off the...
Yeah, doctor. It's so retarded. And if I was going for the good guy, you know, trophy. I was going 100% good. So I'm like, well, you save the person you love, right? That's love is everything. So I went after her, and it gave me the evil trophy, or it gave me an evil
you
thing.
Selfish
like,
bastard.
Exactly. And I was, and she was like, "What?" Or you end up not saving her anyways, which is such a cop out. But anyways, I think
I hate you.
Yeah, no, I think that's a real problem. Like, you can't make the choice you want to make without fucking up the game, really.
I would love I think Dragon Age and The Witcher for me have come the closest to fulfilling what I want.
I keep hearing buzzes about Witcher 2.
Oh yes, I am.
Well, that's because you talk to Dylan every day.
That is one of my most anticipated titles of next year is an understatement. I am looking forward to that more than Dragon Age 2. More than
wait, by next year you mean 2011?
This year, yeah, it's
this year. Oh, okay. Yeah,
I think the only thing that can compare is the 3DS.
Last year was so 2 weeks ago.
shit.
All right, Ghost. Well, you just kind of bumped yourself up a little bit. So, congrats. I hope you guys wrote him down.
I did.
Okay, this next question is from Ramenth, not Ramesh. Ramenth.
Ramenth.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like menthol.
Is he she from Australia?
I don't know. Are you from Australia, Ramenth?
It probably is Ramesh. Is like this is his alter ego.
Boy, I can't spell.
Jesus. All right. So Ramenth says, There have been a lot of takes on the Riddler, from campy 60s version to whatever you want to call Jim Carrey's, as well as all the versions in various comics and cartoons. Which do you guys think is the best, and how does that compare to DC Universe Online's version of the Riddler? Is he doomed to be a stupid villain?
I'm gonna have to put this one up to you guys. I do not know
what I like. The Batman animated series Riddler.
You know what? I watched that show religiously, and I know what the Riddler looks like in it. But I can't even think of any episode where he's in. I don't know what he was like in the cartoon, actually. You know, the iteration of the Riddler, which is funny because you never even see him. The one that stuck with me and that I thought was the most interesting was by far the Arkham Asylum Riddler.
Yes.
You only hear his voice, and you see the clues that he leaves behind, and you can listen to his interviews, which are really disturbing. He's talking about like ripping babies' legs off and shit. It's awesome.
That one was actually really cool. I hope they continue with that one, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So the one you guys really like is the one that I do know.
There you go.
That's good. So I heard a good one. Obviously, I know who the Riddler is, but, man, I couldn't distinguish versions.
There was an interesting one in the Joker book where the Riddler is pretty much a hippie. He's got a fucking limp and like a cane, and I do like the one from the 60s TV show.
That guy was crazy looking, man. His eyes were huge. He was all skinny. He was a freaking weird guy.
Yeah. Oh, that also has my favorite penguin, the Burgess Meredith one.
I thought, going back to Arkham Asylum, I kind of like that one because, I don't know, when you think of a character who does what he does, like, in that world, like, that made a lot of sense. Like, the dude's going to be a little crazy. Like,
I believe he's gonna be fucked up. Kind of like a private eye, I don't remember.
Huh.
I haven't read much of the newer Batman stuff.
Okay, so Ramenth also has a little throwaway question at the end. Kesha and Lady Gaga, they're proof that supervillains are real, aren't they?
I like Lady Gaga.
Yes.
I like Lady Gaga. But I could see her being a supervillain.
Oh, yeah, she's totally got the outfits for it.
Yeah, Ramenth might not be. He might be a new listener thanks to the D2D contest. Mm-hmm. So, he might not know your two's feelings towards Lady Gaga. So now he does. It's okay, Ramenth. I don't like Lady Gaga. It's fine.
I would make sweet love to her.
Make sweet love. God damn it, Dylan. All right, Lance Spearman says, Marvel characters versus DC characters, who would win?
Ouch, man. You're like
Marvel, goddammit.
You're ripping the two loves of my life apart.
Because I'm in the crappy Marvel universe.
Okay. I'd honestly have to say DC.
Fuck you. Man, you get Apocalypse in there. You just rip everyone's face off with his hands.
Apocalypse is pretty much the equivalent of Darkseid.
I don't give a fuck. There's so many infinitely powerful characters.
I know. Thanos.
And not only that, let's say the entire Marvel universe. Just think about that. Because I think, like, what, one in 30 of every person on this planet is a mutant? that's a lot of army against
you
this
go
puny
about this?
Little DC thing.
You want to do this? The Green Lantern Corps.
The Lantern Corps.
I believe there's 3,600 sectors of space, and there's at least two lanterns per sector.
Yeah.
Nerd!
Versus every mutant in the world.
That power ring is ridiculous, and that's just the Green Lantern core. That's not including the Sinestro core.
I guarantee you, fucking Tony Stark and... what's his name? Fucking Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, would come together and find a way to totally pwn these fucking guys with their stupid rings. They'd be like, oh, well, the ring can, like, fall off if you cut the finger off. It'd be like Lord of the Rings, cutting off fucking fingers. And then all these people are rendered useless.
And then let's not even start on Kryptonians.
can't even kill Wolverine.
I don't know what's going on.
Impossible.
I have no idea.
You know, the sad part is, though, like, our favorite superheroes wouldn't stand a fucking chance. Like, Batman and Spider-Man and fucking... They'd all just be dead immediately.
The normies?
The normies, not these...
Spider-Man's not really a normie.
Oh, well, no, I'm just saying, like, people that aren't superhuman, ridiculous, you know? Like, even Wolverine would probably just get broken in half by Superman. Superman could probably kill everybody.
Thor would have a good chance.
Thor and the Hulk. You know, the Hulk would probably be pretty good in there.
And
but, yeah.
The only chance you have is to rally under Doom.
Well, that's Marvel, Dylan.
So. I know.
Suck it.
I love Doom.
Suck your own ass.
I don't want to.
Who's the guy that eats planets? What's his name?
Oh, yeah, that's fucking Galactus. He's
yeah, done.
Done. Done.
Game over.
You know, I probably totally counted the Green Lantern Corps, but whatever. There's thousands.
Yeah, we're going to get a bunch of emails.
There's thousands of them, though.
You're not worthy to give away a copy of DC Universe Online. You don't even know the Green Lantern.
They're not even in the game.
They should be.
If they were, I would buy it.
We're just kidding, DC Universe people. We love your game. Next up, we got Stephen Haberman saying, if you were a superhero, what traits and features would your arch enemy have? I think my arch enemy would be like a lesbian.
The ketchup man.
Because every woman hobby at you knows all day. Turns lesbian.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'd be a gothy lesbian. that's my arch nemesis right there.
Who threw ketchup packets at you?
That's right. Oh my god, that'd be horrible. God.
Hobby's own personal hell.
That is awful.
Like half opened ketchup packets, so a little bit got on you when they'd hit.
Or she'd like lay them on the ground and stomp on one end so they explode on me. That would be it. That'd be the end. That's the end of Javi Rodriguez. You guys.
Yeah, Javi told me that if I jokingly spilled ketchup on him at PAX, I would not be on the podcast anymore.
It's true. I shit you not. This ain't no game. You guys have a supervillain?
A supervillain. Let's go ahead and discredit the word super from Javi's answer.
No, that is that's beyond super villainous. That is pretty fucking evil right there.
Yeah.
A goth lesbian ketchup thrower.
God damn
it. Villain, if you got something, I'll let you go.
Oh, I have no idea, man.
Yeah, that's tough to think about. Like, I'm just trying to think of people who really annoy me.
Dylan.
What?
Yeah, it'd be Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan's
my arch enemy.
Mine would be Guido's.
Fozzie? Dylan's arch enemy is Fozzie the Tech Gamer. All right. Well, I guess move on.
That's a really good question. I just wish I had a better answer for it.
I haven't thought about this.
Drew Flintosh says, suppose there was a grand martial arts tournament consisting of all fighters from any of your favorite game series, Tekken, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, etc., factoring out all the projectile magic powers, i.e. fireballs, or anyone in Marvel, or Sub-Zero Steve Tech, what fighter is taking home the glory? And conversely, who will be everyone's punching bag, or least likely to win anything?
Glass Joe.
Batman would lose everything. Oh, Glass Joe? Yeah.
Okay. Why the hell would Batman lose everything?
Why would Batman lose it?
I thought we were talking about like real fighting games. Like fighting, like two-player against each other kind
of
game.
Isn't Batman like a master of every martial arts?
Yeah, but... like, so is Ryu and Ken, and they're like gigantic bodybuilder people. I mean, Batman's kinda...
So they're slow and bulky, come on.
I suppose. That's true. I think Batman could take those guys out, actually. One second.
Yeah.
All right, well... Anyways, who would dominate is fucking,
fucking... It levitates the trains from Tokyo to Osaka.
Osaka. And it levitates me. No, the Hulk would win everything.
I don't know, man. E Honda would give him a run.
Oh my god, I loved when we had Zach on the show. We were talking about Street Fighter, and then we said something about the pause screen and how retarded it was. And Zach was so good at mimicking it. He was like, anyway. Yeah, who would win? Jin Kazuma would win everything. He would kick everyone's ass. There I said.
Who's that?
He's the main character from Tekken.
Oh, okay.
Alright. Yeah. Alright. Tony Audette, our homie, says this question's for Javi.
Oh. Well, you lose then.
When you are going to play or when are you going to play Lost Odyssey? It's the best current gen JRPG or the best of the current gen RPGs, and since no one here has bought it, we might miss out on its spiritual successor, The Last Story.
Lost Odyssey? Is that the one for the 360?
It is.
I have it, you fucks.
Well, you didn't mention it.
I was trying to remember it last podcast, and I couldn't think of the name.
All of Twitter exploded when they were listening to the show. They're like, oh, what are you talking about?
Okay, I could not think of the name. And I didn't hate it. I liked that game a lot.
Tony says, spend your money. Well, to that, Tony, I say no, because Sean saw that I'd never played it before, and I think he bought me a copy on Amazon.
What?
I think it's on its way. So we'll see.
That's kind of how Sean rolls.
Yeah.
Like I said, I need to start telling Sean about a lot of other things I don't have.
I liked that game.
Till he's been drinking for a little bit and be like, you know, Sean, I don't have a very new vehicle. I'm going to aim big first.
I haven't tried the, you know, 2011 fucking Audi or whatever. He's like, what? I just bought it for you. I love Sean, but I do feel guilty a lot of the time. He just sends me free shit all the time. Love you, Sean. All right.
Well, I don't feel as bad because the free thing he sent me was Top Gun on the PSN. So. Thanks, Sean. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right. Next question is from Andrew Belly. He says, this question is a response to Your Princess is in Another Castle. And so his question is, which castle is my princess in?
Another castle?
Another one.
Yeah, it's a different one. Like, whichever one you're in, go to a different one. Right. She's probably there, and if she's not there, don't go back to the one you just left.
Well, there are branching storylines.
what was the third option?
That was Andrew Belly.
Okay. Castle Doom?
Are you writing him down?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I've written down everyone. I just want to make sure.
Okay. The next one is from Neil. I'm going to call him Young Neil.
Neil.
I want to party with you.
First thing I thought of was Sam Neil.
I thought Neil Diamond.
In like Event Horizon where he's clawing out his eyes.
All right. This question has been nagging me for a long time. I don't know if it'll make it here. Wait, I don't know if it'll make it, but here is mine. Well, it did make it, Neil. Okay, when this game was still slated for the PC, it sounded wickedly awesome and a treat to play. We all know that the best games played tend to be on computer rather than consoles. Well, I don't know that.
I don't know that at all. But
okay, at least that's my opinion. So why in the world did Alan Wake get taken away from the PC? Because it's not one of the best games, Neil. I am so glad you brought that shit up.
I know Javi called it bad. Bad is strong. Like
is strong, and I fucking stand.
You're wrong, sir.
I am not wrong.
So it's your Heavy Rain.
It's gotta be.
It's to you what Heavy Rain is.
Exactly. Because Alan Wake is fucking bad.
It's not.
It's so bad.
It's so good.
It's so good. No, the thing is, it's beautiful, the environments are beautiful. The characters kind of suck. They look really, or their faces look bad. Their clothes look cool. The lighting is cool. The physics are neat when they throw like gigantic ships at you while you're just walking around. That was really badass. And it had two or three moments total in all the hours I played. Two or three moments where I was like, oh my god, that's awesome. Like, that freaked me out. Or that was really cool. Like, I'm into this. But that was two or three times out of the whole experience. The rest of the time, I shit you not, I'm walking in the fucking woods, watching this motherfucker run out of breath, and just, like, slowly following the dot on the radar and just being bored out of my goddamn mind. Oh, look, here's more shadow people. Okay, now I can shoot him. Pop, pop, pop. Done. Okay, now I can shoot him. Pop, pop, pop. Like, for the rest of the game. That's the whole fucking game. And I think you
should play it on a harder difficulty.
But then it would be less... It would be more annoying. Or it would be, like... it would add frustration on top of this bored dumb...
Maybe, but I think it added more... Tension to it, yeah.
I guess so, but on top
of... maybe I would have been bored had I played it at the same difficulty, but I went straight to hard.
But on top of everything, the story is a disaster. I mean, like, what the fuck happened at the end, too? Not only that, but, like, Alan's actions and the way he reacts to what's going on is fucking ridiculous, man. Like, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate this game. Why is the girl cop, she's one of the main characters, why does she look like a fucking horrible... GTA 4 pedestrian? She looks awful, and you see her all the time. And why does this FBI agent want to kill you, and he keeps calling you Stephen King and all sorts of other...
Because you're the origami killer.
Origami. Oh my god, dude. I can't stand this game. I'm obviously, like, in a far extreme right now. It's not that bad, but it's not good. It's not. It's so not good, dude.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
And you know what, Neil, young Neil, be happy you didn't waste your money. Maybe it would have been on...
Don't listen to this guy, Neil. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Fuck you.
And I think it's a travesty and a sham and a mockery that did not make it to PC so that you could play it and enjoy
it. Such a bad game.
Travis Shimockery.
Man, I am going to get fucking hated.
I hope so.
We all
I
are in this
so.
Episode.
You hope so?
Yes,
why?
I hope you get hated on for that.
So right. No, I'm so glad. Not. Like, I think it was Dub
yeah,
was like,
bitches.
He's like, dude, I couldn't agree with you more about Alan Wake. I'm like, high five. Fucking game sucks.
So we've got two. Congratulations.
I would rather be on Dub's side.
You could build a Green Lantern ring army.
Yeah, we could do it. me and Dub have enough manpower to start a Green Lantern corp.
Javier's great rage in him. So welcome to the Red Lanterns.
An anti-Alan Wake Green. And I want this to be the anti-Alan Wake Green Lantern, what is it, something core?
Corpse.
Ring core?
Core.
Yeah, okay, and then I want you to abbreviate it, and I want you to say every letter every time. So you go ahead and make an acronym out of that.
The A-A-I-I... Oh.
A-A-G-L-R-C.
That's right. All right. Rosalinda Estrada says...
There's another shirt.
Yep. She says, I would like to know what game was better and why. The two games are Space Invaders from 1999 or Galaga from 1980.
Oh...
I don't know what is Galaga, because I know Space Invaders.
Galaga is the one with the one ship, and you can link the ships together, and it's just it's on the
Snake,
bottom of the screen
much?
And moves back and forth.
No. I never played Galaga. I've seen it a million times, but I never played it.
Yeah. And what was the other one?
Space Invaders.
Space Invaders, I'd go, would be better.
Me too.
Galaga was, I've played it a lot, and I just never really...
Liked it.
It never really sat with me the way that Space Invaders did.
Right. All right, Sebastian Williams says, as video games become more popular, more research has surfaced about the positive aspects of video games for all ages and types of gamers. Should there be any modifications in the current video game rating system that looks at content beyond the objectionable?
What?
Yeah, you're gonna have to repeat that.
Basically, he's saying that games have become very popular, and it's a broad audience now, and he's wondering if the rating system should not just cover what's objectionable, not just what's Like an ESRB rating shouldn't just worry about violence and sex. It should also talk about the content. Like, I don't know, maybe you could be like educational or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what exactly.
Okay, well, read the question itself again.
As video games become more popular, more research has surfaced about the positive aspects for video games for all ages and types of gamers. Should there be any modification in the current video game rating system that looks at content beyond the objectionable?
So it highlights the
good qualities, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So like the
positive.
I wonder if he's talking about like the stuff about like the idea that video games might help, you know, reduce the effects of Alzheimer's or prevent it
because
it keeps the brain active, stuff like that. I think that'd be real hard to put on a rating.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of stuff you just put out there. But ratings, I mean, I think ratings...
And, I mean, you can always compare it to the film industry. You're not going to have a movie that's, like, rated R for violence, but also heartwarming. You know?
Exactly.
What was the GTA one? Rated R for retarded.
You know?
Great. No, I mean, I think that's just the kind of stuff... I think it's just the kind of stuff you put out there and that you try to get, you know, educate people about. But the ratings are there for a very specific purpose.
Right.
You know?
It's to warn parents about the sins of video games. The dangers and pitfalls of letting your child rot his brain or
and playing Pitfall.
Yes.
The pitfalls of playing Pitfall. All right. Oh, dude, Dylan, remember Pitfall on... Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, man.
I was like, Spider-Man and Iron Man and fucking Silver Surfer are walking around in an Atari.
That was the worst game ever. And then when we finished it, I accidentally pressed A and it sent us right back in.
Oh, that was too funny. All right.
Oh, fuck.
Mark Hunter says, this question has bothered people since May 25th, 1977. Perhaps you may indeed have the answer. The question is, where exactly are the droids we are looking for?
They're at your local cell phone dealer.
See, I expected
they're at a Verizon outlet near you.
I expected the question to be like, what happened to George Lucas?
Oh, well, that guy's batshit crazy.
I don't know.
Oh my god, this next question is from Moses.
You know, going back to that, what you just said about George Lucas, you know, I think the first three Star Wars films were just like him catching a hot streak, because I think everything since then has proven that the dude just doesn't know what the fuck
it was
he's doing.
Because everyone on set was like, no, George, you can't do that.
and then he made those movies and got huge, and then he decided he could do whatever
he wants. We don't have
the
budget for this, George. Luke cannot be an alien.
We cannot find a Jamaican voice actor for your little squid person. Like, we just can't do it, George.
Wasn't George Lucas, he was behind the Indiana Jones movies as well, and they came after.
Yeah, and those were okay.
No,
okay.
George, we don't have the budget.
Okay, sorry,
and
I didn't mean
that.
That
one had Steven Spielberg saying,
that.
No, George, no.
Sorry, I wasn't downgrading it. I was just saying... Yeah, those are good.
They're just not as good.
No, I didn't say.
All right, Moses says, "Will you be able to change from hero to villain or villain to hero throughout the game of DC Universe Online?"
Oh,
I don't believe
so.
I think you just
pick
make
one. A
villain. I mean, you can have one of each.
That is,
you can have
the one that
you can have two characters, but
yeah.
Right? You can have two characters,
yeah.
So you can make one of each, but you can't switch in-game.
No. Yeah, you can't make the same character change sides.
No. City of Heroes has their newest expansion, deals with that, the turncoat system.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows what we'll see in the future, but right now, you can't.
But that, so as far as I know, that's the only game that has that.
Alright, Dylan Richardson says... It seems like developers are now developing directly for consoles, and this has made waves in the PC gaming community due to buggy games and/or poor graphics due to ports to the PC. Now, many online retailers, such as DirectDrive, are making headway in without disc games and
all deep, thanks to Walter.
Yeah, Walter Lopez. And deep discounts on major software titles. Do you think that PC gaming will make a huge comeback in the next 2 years? And will developers follow suit and port from PC versions again?
I think it is on back on the rise, especially with the like with both Direct-to-Drive and Steam. And then looking at a lot of games coming out, developers are saying, yeah, we're not going to make we're not going to cut corners for consoles. we're making this as an equal experience for both PC and consoles, which I'm glad to hear that. Dragon Age, I believe, mentioned that.
Well, the problem is, to be equal experiences, the PC version will have to suffer for it because consoles are not as powerful. I mean, if you're going to be equal, then, you know, you got to find a level playing field. That's why, you know, a lot of multi-platform games don't come out on Wii, because you'd have to lower all of them to that standard.
Or they come out an entirely different version.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to make a game that's on PC and consoles, and you're trying to, you know, make it essentially the same game across the board, the PC version's going to suffer, because it could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can see the PC coming back on the rise. I don't think it's going to make that full shift, though. I just... I think the console market is too lucrative.
It is. It is. But the thing is, I think the market is growing exponentially, so the PC market is going to get much, much larger than it ever was before, but right. It's not going to pass the consoles.
No, it'll never surpass it.
Never.
Again.
But, you know, like, I look at myself as an example. Like, I just got this laptop, and, you know, I was never a PC gamer at all. But, you know, having no consoles around, and just, like, it was during the holidays, too, so I saw all these games were on sale on Steam. I'm like, why the fuck not? You know, I was just picking up games like crazy during December, and, you know, I love that you can just bring your PC, your laptop around, have all these games on there. It's cool. So yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people out there like me that, you know, will casually play PC games but more hardcore-diddly play console games.
Well, yeah, I'll do that on the PC, but also at the same time, you see a lot of these, like, especially like a lot of indie games on PC.
Yes.
that gain a lot of popularity, but then what happens is they gain a lot of popularity and then those end up on consoles.
Yes. Yep. They get ported.
They end up getting console versions because they're like, well, it sold well on PC, so it should make a killing on console.
Yeah, that's totally fine with me as long as our version doesn't suffer.
Well, and vice versa. Totally, there's cool that story. There's that story today that Ryan showed me about the Penny Arcade games doing amazing on Mac, right? Or on
yeah, they're getting revitalized now. I was really disappointed when I read the article because that guy tweeted,
right?
The guy from Hi-Hat tweeted, if you sell 100,000, tell 100,000 of your friends to buy episodes 1 and 2, and we'll make an episode 3. And like, you read the article, it's like,
no.
Open your arcade guys are like, no, like, that's news to us.
Yeah. So,
although I would love to see it happen, but
mm-hmm. Yeah. No, so I mean, you know, it's great. I think like the market is bubbling. It's becoming more and more mainstream every day. And like, people that never played games are trying them out and finding their niche. They're getting, you know, the people are letting their shields down and starting to like appreciate a good entertainment for what it's worth. So I mean, I think, and that goes across the spectrum, PC or not. So it's going to grow for sure.
I still don't understand how the hell you can play a first person shooter multiplayer on console.
What do you mean? You play them all the time.
And I do.
PC is so much easier.
Yeah, but that's kind of a weird comment to make. You loved Halo 1. You played it to fucking death.
I did. Like,
and we play Uncharted a lot. Yeah, it's
Uncharted's
third person.
I was gonna say Uncharted's third person, man.
Yeah, but it could be first person. It's still the same. You're using the right stick to aim. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't know.
I think I'm commenting on Ryan's preference of console for first person shooter.
Well, it's just way easier. I don't have a computer. I mean, if I got a PC that could run some first-person shooters are better, maybe, but I don't know. It's just all my friends are on console, so that's where my that's where the group is, so that's where I stay.
Yeah, I mean,
not everyone has a PC.
Introduce your friends to PCs.
I mean, they've heard of PCs.
I'm
they've met.
We've heard of this so-called computer.
Well, and the problem is, I think inherently playing on a PC means you're not comfortable. I mean, or you're not as comfortable. You're sitting straight up or leaning forward with your hands on a desk, you know, looking straight in front of you. I mean, your hands on the mouse and your hands on the keyboard. That's not
right.
That doesn't even fucking come in the same stratosphere of just laying on a couch with the controller on your lap. I mean, it's you can't do it. And so like, yeah, I mean, I would much rather play a Killzone or even fucking Portal, you know, sitting on my couch just chilling instead of having to go up to my office and sit forward. And, you know, it's like, that's like I'm doing work. I mean, it's not, I can't just melt away and just relax, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my problem with PC gaming more than anything is this, you can't really do it without having to be at a desk. That's not cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, okay, that was Dylan Richardson. I'm going to write that down. PC gaming.
I'm a PC. I'm a PC.
Chuck Hedden says, at this point in gaming, it's difficult to play an MMO and find time for other games. How can MMO developers... create a game that has the appeal of an MMO without the feeling of having to play all the time?
I don't... Can you?
I don't play
I
play MMOs, and I don't play them that like a whole ton.
At the end of his question, he wrote in parentheses, having to play all the time because you're paying for it. And that's 100%... I couldn't agree with Chuck more there. That's always been my problem with MMOs. That's why I quit WoW. Like, I would love to play WoW every once in a while. I'm always like, oh man, Aaron's playing now? Like, I want to hop in and join him. There's no fucking way.
You have to
go
restart your account.
There's no fucking way I'm paying another $15 just to like play a couple hours with my friend for a game that I already purchased. Like, No, I'm not doing it.
The way I see it, $15 a month is an hour and 5 minutes of work for me, and I get a whole 30 days out of that $15. But I do see what you mean about bought the game.
You get 30 days if you play the whole 30 days. I mean, that's what I mean. Like you,
yeah. If I play,
you
more
only
than,
get
if
what
I
you
play
played.
More than like 2 hours, then I've made back my money.
In a perfect world. In a perfect world, you pay for a month, and that's a month of in-game time, not a month where you have a time limit. You better play as much as you can during this month, otherwise you wasted your money. So, I mean, that's the distinction there. I mean, otherwise, because that's what he means. You have pressure. You're pressured because you paid that money, and it's up to you whether you wasted it or not because you don't own what you bought at all. Like it's gonna time's gonna run out, and you're not gonna be able to play it.
Yeah, I don't like the monthly system for any MMO, but I like I said, $15 is like an hour and 10 minutes of work. So if I play more than 2 hours, then I've got my money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I do play a little bit more than that. So I.
Well, is it? I mean, I guess you can say you got your money's worth because it's your opinion whether that was worth it or not. But, you know, I mean, really, look at that. That's $15 that you could spend on a game that you could own forever and play anytime you want for the rest of your life, or you're paying $15 for a time limit. And that's the big... I think that's much more a hard sell if you think about it that way. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus, I could have bought... You know, fucking Pixel Junk Shooter. You know, I could have bought that, and I could own it. You know,
I mean, if the monthly fee bothers people, there's plenty of games that don't have a monthly fee. Plenty of MMOs, Guild Wars doesn't, Lord of the Rings doesn't, Dungeons and Dragons doesn't.
Right. So, I mean, back to his question, he's saying, how can MMO developers create a game that has the appeal of an MMO but doesn't have that feeling that you have to play? I think you're right, Dylan. You have to go to a free-to-play game.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be the only way to do it, because you're going to have that pressure. You're paying for shit that will go away. You know?
Or there's what I do with War. All I want to do is PvP. They have an endless free trial to level 10. You can't go above level 10, but you can still do a bunch of battlegrounds at that level.
Wait, but then again, there's a way around this, right? Because, I mean, there's servers that you can connect to that
they're,
aren't
they're
official.
Private servers, and it's not legal.
Oh, it's not legal.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't know why that's not legal, actually.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, because in the money you're paying to support these
servers, I don't know if it's straight illegal, but Blizzard actively pursues shutting them down.
Yeah. No, Ryan, it's private servers. Like, if I ran a server, I could run...
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I'm wondering, why is that illegal? It's a private server, but when you pay the... And that's way around the monthly subscription. When you're paying the monthly subscription, isn't it a...
Yeah.
To pay for those servers?
I guess I can see someone cutting
in on there.
Yeah, maybe it's not straight illegal, but like I said, Blizzard actively and successfully shuts them down.
It's like masturbating on an airplane.
Oh my.
It's frowned upon.
Alright, thanks, Chuck. That was good. Brian Goatlip says, why in the GTA series and Red Dead Redemption do they pull the weapons out of... Oh, okay, this is a funny question because it's interesting. Okay, anyways, he says, why in the GTA series and Red Dead Redemption they pull the weapons out of nowhere, and in Call of Duty series when you look at a wall, your gun looks normal, but to the other people, it's going through the wall. I didn't mess up reading that. That's what it says. Okay, so first of all, the last part. When in first-person shooters, the gun that's in front of your face is kind of like your own thing. People aren't seeing that same thing being rendered. They're seeing like their version of your character model, a representation of what you're doing in-game. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there would be incredible lag. And the whole point of online gaming is to send as little data as possible. So literally... all that people are getting on their end is where you are and where you're shooting. And so their character model, yeah, their gun might be in the wall because that's what that character model is doing, or that's where that character model is supposed to be. But what you're seeing is your own representation of it. And also, I think it's up to the game also, but like usually your gun is almost on a layer on top of what's actually in the environment.
Yeah,
I always thought first-person shooters, the way the gun is held looks so awkward.
Right,
it looks like you're holding it like a right next to your face constantly, or you're down by your hip constantly.
Yeah, I mean that's the eternal struggle of a first-person shooter. You can't really represent it correctly.
I'm holding this shotgun up to my eye. Constantly.
At all times.
I mean, otherwise, like, when you're holding a pistol, especially when you're aiming your pistol, you'd be looking at, like, where your elbow is, like, at your joint right there. Like, that would be, like, yeah. No, I don't know. It works.
Yeah. I mean, it's a game.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. I mean...
Okay, and the first part of his question, why in GTA and Red Dead Redemption do they pull weapons out of nowhere? Because
it's a game.
It's a video game, dude.
And Marston would have a lot of weapons hanging off his body.
Yeah.
All right.
Be like Ezio.
Yep. Next question is from Scott. He says, I just finished reading The Shattering yesterday, and I noticed something. It said that Falstead Wildhammer was going to be on the Council of Three Hammers, but in the beta, it's Curdren.
Wait
Wildhammer.
A second. I recognize this question.
Oh, really?
You're sneaky.
I have no
this
idea.
This was asked at BlizzCon.
Oh! that dorky kid, and then he corrected the developers. He pwned them at their own game. Yeah, that was cool.
It's because they don't know their own lore.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
That was funny, Scott, but Dylan had to explain it. You lose points. All right, next question is from James.
Done. Later.
Blizzard hit it with big success, or with the big success of World of Warcraft, do you think that they would ever try to top themselves and release something else in the same genre MMORPG? James, prepare to have your nuts blown off. Blizzard already announced their new MMO.
Did they really?
They did. I can't remember what it's called. It's like one word. It's like thrift or shift or drift or rift.
Rift? No. I was like, that's something else entirely.
God, I hope I'm not wrong, but I swear to God, it was during BlizzCon this year or something. Blizzard.
They should name themselves Blizzard. I mean, Wizard.
Yeah, and I mean, all we have is a name, and it's still a long ways out. But and I think they're actively avoiding competing with themselves, of course. So it's going to be a different kind of thing. But it is an MMO.
So. Yeah. Well, okay, MMORPG. We could extend it to that.
Right.
I think the game that competes with World of Warcraft is going to be World of Warcraft 2.
Right.
Like, that's pretty much the only thing they could do. Because why shoot yourself in the foot? Like,
yeah.
Why launch something you know is going to fail?
It's almost like the idea of World of Warcraft 2. It reminds me of the ongoing disaster that is Pokemon, because they keep adding more and more Pokemon, more and more shit that you got to keep track of, more weird, like, oh, now they have traits, and all 450 Pokemon have different traits, and you got to know which one's which, and you got to know what their stats are, what level they learn each move, what level they evolve, and that's 440 whatever, you know, different things, you know, different complete things. And so, like, now the guides to these games are like 3 Bibles thick. And, you know, and you look at World of Warcraft, they've put layer on top of layer on top of layer on top of layer. So when you finally have to make that transition, and that's, I honestly think that's why Pokemon has not evolved at all. That's why it's been the same, evolved, get it? But that's why it's been the same, it's been the same fucking game every time, and all the Pokemon are in each game, but they have like 1 or 2 frames of animation, because they're digging themselves deeper and deeper, and then when you have to make that jump to a full 3D game, or, you know, finally update, you know, make it fucking current, you have so much shit to transfer over, so much shit to take care of. You know, you have to model 450 Pokemon.
493.
Yeah, there you go. And then in World of Warcraft, like, there's all this shit, all these quests, all these storylines, all this world that you would have to realize in a current gen kind of graphics and everything. And it's just like, the longer it goes, the more they're digging themselves deeper with more work they have in the future if they ever decide to modernize it. That's why, you know, you look at Cataclysm still looks like World of Warcraft when it first came out, like, as far as graphics. I mean, yeah, they've pushed that engine to its limits with art direction. Like, they've added a few effects here and there with patches and stuff, but really, they're still running off World of Warcraft 1.0 with just better character model, like a little bit higher polygons and better textures, but, you know, that's as far as it can go, you know, and eventually they will have to take that step forward, and they have a lot of stuff to transfer over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, will they ever try to top themselves with WoW someday? But it's going to be.
I would hope so.
Yeah,
it's I would think that's naturally like what you want from a company. Yeah,
but you know, all that work you just talked about going through. I mean, I think that's kind of Blizzard's thing. I mean, all their games take forever to release, and I could easily see them taking on that endeavor.
Right. Right. All right. What the hell is this? Okay.
Porn.
William E.
Is it more crack den smack?
No, but this William E. Hoover guy, his name is Sabro Net Security. And he says, please enter me in your DC Universe Online Twitter contest. Thank you.
Okay.
Entered and
all right, William.
Lost.
Fail. Yeah. Oh my God, we're to our final question, guys.
Are we really?
Yes. Nathan Savage. What game is going to be the biggest disappointment of 2011? Call it now.
Ooh. Okay, so let's, real quick, let's go over. What do we have coming?
Uncharted 3.
Little Big Planet 2.
Mass Effect.
Uncharted 3. Mass Effect 3.
Killzone 3. Infamous 2. Gears 3. Gears 3 is going to be a disappointment.
I honestly think Dragon Age will be.
Yeah. Dragon Age 2. You know what? I do too. I don't think Gears is going to be a disappointment, actually. I think it's going to be the best in the series, but you know, I won't care.
I don't think Dragon Age is going to be disappointing.
I think it will.
I do. I think it's going to be fine, but it's not going to be... It's going to be like the Fallout Vegas of Dragon Age. Like, it's going to be...
No, it's not. I prefer Fallout Vegas ran on the same shitty engine and made the same shitty... You know, this is a new engine. They're, like, redoing the game. It's going to be more Mass Effect 2 than Dragon Age 1.
Hmm.
I think it will be the biggest disappointment, though. It hasn't even been in development for more than 2 years.
Well, 2 years.
How far was there between Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2?
A lot. And that's why I'm wondering, why is Mass Effect... Why is Mass Effect...
It might have been just 2 years.
One and two? No, it's like 3 years, man. I swear. Because Mass Effect 1 was like...
2006, I thought.
But regardless, Mass Effect 2 came out this year, or in 2010, and Mass Effect 3 is coming out 2011. That can't happen. I at the very least, I'm calling it right now, and I wish we still had that question for our predictions for this year. I'm calling it now. Mass Effect 2 or Mass Effect 3 will not come out in 2011. It will early 2012.
I don't think that's enough time. Anyway,
it's not.
One of BioWare's games will disappoint me.
If it does come out, I think. If it does come out this holiday, I think it's at risk of being Resistance 2, where it's not finished. It's good, but it's not quite there, you know? So I think it will. They will hold off.
Right. Okay, let's see. Y'all go ahead.
Portal 2. I think Portal 2 will be neat, but it will not warrant a full $60 retail disc, because we're so used to Portal being such a great surprise and part of the orange box. I think Portal 2 might not be able to stand alone as its own full retail game.
Okay, real quick. Original Mass Effect was released in November of 2007, which gives it about 2 years and a month or two between 1 and 2.
That's crazy. I thought Mass Effect 1 was way old.
No.
Well, there you go. Well, I guess now it's 3 years ago, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, no.
No, it's more than 3 years now. It's almost 4.
Yeah, now it's more than 3. From the original, like, yeah. But, I mean, like I said, Mass Effect 2 came out in January. And it was originally slated to release... Exactly 2 years later. Like, it was supposed to be November of 2009, and they got pushed to January.
Right.
I'm still thinking Dragon Age.
Yeah, I'm going to say
Portal. You know, I could see Portal 2 being...
I don't think it's going to be bad. It looks cool, but it's going to be disappointing. Just because...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be what we hope it to be.
Yeah, and you know they're going to try. They're really going to try to get that magic. They're going to have a song at the end titles with GLaDOS singing or something. And
what about Duke Nukem Forever?
That's not going to... I have no expectations for that.
Yeah, it can't be disappointing if I don't want to play it.
Exactly.
Disappointments ahoy!
I think Portal is stuck in a corner. A rock in a hard place.
Half-Life Episode 3.
That's not coming out next year.
It'll never come out.
Yeah.
Portal is because crazy. You know, this fun little thing that was part of the Orange Box, and now they're trying to make it a full release, retail release. It's gonna,
You know what's crazy? I was reading I have my old Penny Arcade book here. I was reading it, and I really got a sense of how old it was, because they're like, oh, what'd you think of E3? Oh, I saw Gabe Newell, and he's like, oh yeah, what was he up to? And he's like, not making Half-Life 2. It's like,
damn. Yeah.
Yeah, this is old as shit.
Gabe! Yeah.
Alright, well, I guess that's all the questions.
Gotta pick a winner.
All right, so we're back, and
we are
after much much deliberation
and technical and difficulties.
Tech 9 difficulties. We have all decided on a winner, and that winner is, drum roll. Oh, I was gonna add it in post, but Our winner.
Well, now you know where to add exactly. it. I bookmarked it for you. So,
our winner is Ghost 8187. 818 whatever. Ghost, you won.
You win. Yay.
Yay. He wins for having that morality question, which, you know, at first, you know, we touched on and then we really got into it. So congrats on having the most thought-provoking question this week, or best conversation starter. Now remember, Ghost, you win a free copy of DC Universe Online, but you're still going to have to pay for the subscription fees. Director Drive is not paying for that, those. So please to enjoy. All right, so
I guess that's it for the first one.
Finally, well, first off, I want to say, remind everybody listening right now to, if you are streaming this off of GameOverNation.com, in this article, you'll be able to find a link to our iTunes page, so you can subscribe to us on iTunes and get it on your iPod instantly. And while you're there, open up iTunes and go to find us on the iTunes store and write a little review. Like, tell people why you enjoy, you know, the show. We really want to grow the nation. We want to have like tons of people, because you know, you can see right now, like, we have like roughly 8 comments on each post, and that's exciting, man. But like, just imagine like when we get a lot of people that are like, you know, part of the community. It's gonna be awesome. So we want as many people listening to the show, as many people coming to the site as possible. Make sure to rate us on iTunes, and since we're a new show, me and Ryan were talking about this, is a big opportunity for us to make it on the new and notables list, because as a new show, if you have a lot of listeners, for someone that's just starting out, you skyrocket, and then you're slapped on the front page. So this is,
and tell your friends.
Definitely.
You know, if you like what we do, their chances are someone else you know is going to like what we do, because you hang out with them and you probably share the same interests. So
except for, you know, like when one of you likes Alan Wake and the other one clearly doesn't, because that game sucks.
And like, it's like when Heavy Rain's horrible.
No.
And your buddy thinks it's pretty good. It's not like your that. Your buddy's like calling it Game of the Year and shit.
Game of the Year. You know, you gave Alan Wake one of your Games of the Year things. Fuck you. That game sucked.
Yes, I did. Ooh. I did.
Oh my. But yeah, so tell your dumb friend that likes Alan Wake to listen to you.
Damn.
Okay. Also, make sure to visit our site. And if you haven't been one of these people that's getting involved in the comments, like, make sure to drop something off. Even if it's like, you know, even if you want to be a hater, if you didn't like the comic this week, or, you know, if you have constructive criticism, throw it out there. I don't care. Just let us know what you think about the content we're putting up. Speaking of which, that's another reminder to go to GameOverNation.com and see what's up. All right.
Twitter.
Oh, and also this Twitter. Okay, so Ryan, your Twitter is Airstrike Rhino, right?
Yeah.
All right. Dylan, you're Dilanosaurus. Dilanosaurus. Me, it's a little complicated. It's all on the fucking page, on our website, on the sidebar. So,
well, the main one is that the website Twitter is Game Over Nation, at Game Over Nation. So.
Game Over Nation. Oh, this is the last thing. Oh, yeah. So I'm starting to think it would be a great idea to start taking requests for box art review. So if you have any box art in particular that you think is fucking awful or really funny, feel free to send it over to mail@gameovernation.com. Or also, if you want to write into next week's podcast, we're always accepting questions, mail@gameovernation.com. So, yeah. And I think that's going to do it for our very first episode of Game Over Nation. I think it's a lot better than the first episode of Go Over ever was.
Well, duh.
Duh.
I would hope so.
All right, guys. So, thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Hope you enjoy the show. See you next week. This is Javi with Ryan.
Yo.
Dylan.
Hey.
And we're out. Later. Game Over Nation.
Gone.
Gone.